his killer. And no, Krishna is always in the same mood, but when it's time to kill a demon, then his plenary portion, who's combined with him, when Krishna advented himself, comes out and kills the demon. Therefore, we find Krishna, after the Putana demon was killed, was still innocently playing on her, not thinking, well, now I've killed this stupid witch. Anyone else want to be killed? No. He was still perfectly in the mood of a little child, a mother Jasoda. Now we ourselves would have a hard time doing that, to have one activity and a completely manifest, completely different mood, and at the same time keep the same mood that we started with. We cannot hold, generally, unless we're schizophrenic or crazy, more than one mood at a time. The Krishna can have unlimited moods and not be, and perfectly have that mood in reciprocation with his devotee and not become at all a change when he has another mood simultaneously, such as killing demons. Now the time for Krishna's incarnation came, and all the incarnations came with Krishna. Now, the main reason why Krishna comes is to here, in this particular age, was not to kill demons, because if he had to kill the demons, there would be no one left. Kalki takes care of that at the end of Kali Yuga. He, practically speaking, kills everyone, except for a few remaining devotees who start Sakya Yuga. But if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came as a Leela avatar and killed the demons, then there would be no one to preach to, because we're all demons, or most people are demons. Therefore, he comes, as it says here, killing of demons is but secondary work. I should now speak of the main reason for the Lord's incarnation. Prema rasa nirya, prema rasa niryasa, karite asvadana, raga marga bhakti loke karite prachara. Raga mati raga marga bhakti loke karite pracharana. Rasika shekara Krishna parama karuna. E dui hetu karite ichara udgama. The Lord's desire to appear was born from two reasons. The Lord wanted to taste the sweet essence of the mellows of love of God, and he wanted to propagate devotional service in the world on the platform of spontaneous attraction. Thus he is known as supremely jubilant and is the most merciful of all. Ragmarga. So what exactly does Ragmarga mean? Ragmarga is not that I don't follow the rules and regulations. That means I'm spontaneous. I just do whatever I feel like, and I imagine that I'm in love with God. So generally people perform devotional service desiring fruitive activities, or desiring the result. It can be very gross, like, give me a house, give me a wife, give me a color TV, Om Jai Jagadisha Hari. It can be very obvious that one wants some material remuneration, or it can be subtle, such as profit, or adoration, or distinction. I'm very special, I have very special qualities, people should adore me, I'm an advanced devotee, I'm different from, I'm above everyone. So these are all material conceptions. Advanced means that one has to be humbler than everyone else. Humbler in the sense, not artificially humble. Oh, I am so humble, see how humble I am. I am the most humble. I am the most advanced because I'm the most humble. But real humility means to appreciate how everyone and everything is related to Krishna, and therefore as one is humble before the Supreme Personality of Godhead, noticing that Krishna is everywhere, one is humble everywhere, to everyone and everything. Because if Krishna is everything, and he's everywhere, then where is there a question of not being humble? If Krishna is unlimited, and I'm unlimitedly small, then where is there a scope of being puffed up? Out of what? For what reason would we be puffed up? There's no reason to be puffed up, because we're so tiny and Krishna is so great. Only an illusion, we think ourselves to be this body, and on the basis of bodily identification, we think we have some reason to be proud. We have some wealth, we have some knowledge, we have some beauty, we have some situation which is better than others. Therefore, we think we have some reason to be proud. But if I'm actually not this body, then what reason do I have to be proud? Because whatever opulence I think I'm manifesting is not coming from me, it's coming from this body, mind, and intelligence, which all belongs to Krishna. Therefore, only out of illusion can I be proud. But one, if one doesn't have that illusion, then he's not proud anymore. So the idea of becoming humble is only possible by unalloyed devotional service, by which one becomes aware of Krishna. Without becoming aware of Krishna, there's no question of humility. Anyone who's not aware of Krishna must be proud. Even those who've realized Brahman, they think they're God, what to speak of everyone else. Abhishuddha Buddhaya. Their intelligence is still impure. Therefore, even God says, in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gopi Bharata Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. That I am simply the servant of the servant of the servant of the self-effulgent Supreme Person who maintains the gopis in Vrindavan. Now, Vaidhi Bhakti, one follows the rules of Vaidhi Bhakti because one has material desires. And without following the rules, one will be carried away by one's desires. But if we perform devotional service, even with material desires, that's called karma yoga. And that's part of Vaidhi Bhakti. There's no spontaneous love for Krishna. There's no actual awareness very much of Krishna. But out of duty, one follows the rules and regulations. Even when one is expecting some result from it, still, it is called karma yoga. And when one takes pleasure and mental speculation to understand Krishna, but he's trying to understand Krishna, that's called jnana yoga. One is seeking knowledge of Krishna, about Krishna. One doesn't know Krishna, but that's still within the platform of material consciousness. Therefore, it's not spontaneous love for Krishna. It's developing love for Krishna on a higher platform than fruitive activities, but not exactly in the realm of pure devotion or spontaneous love. Similarly, if one can meditate upon Krishna as the yogis do, that's not perfect devotional service either. It's Krishna conscious to some degree, because one becomes not only seeking knowledge about Krishna, but one can meditate upon Krishna. But that's still within the realm of not spontaneous love, Vaidhi Bhakti, practicing meditation on Krishna, even by chanting the holy name. But when one is free from these tendencies, he expects something as a result of our work. One is satisfied in any position that one finds himself in, not hankering for some other situation. That doesn't mean we just sit there like a inanimate object and we don't do anything because we're satisfied in any position. Maybe someone like Haridasa Thakur could do that, could simply sit in one place and chant Hare Krishna. But we generally arrive at that by doing active work for Krishna. We try to fulfill Krishna's desire to preach Krishna consciousness, to spread Krishna consciousness to the best of our abilities, but sukha dukhe sne kritva lava lavo jaya jayo tato yudai yudasva naivam papam ahapsasi. Do thou fight for the sake of fighting without considering happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, loss or gain, and by doing so you'll never occur sick. So what does this mean? We don't care if we're happy, we don't care if we're unhappy, We don't care if we're successful or if we fail. So what do we care about? We care whether we're in Krishna consciousness or not, whether we're doing it for Krishna. And the rest we leave up to Krishna. It is not that we don't care. We go out to distribute books. I don't care if you take a book. Here, let me have it back. I won't even bother explaining to you. Because I don't care whether I'm successful or not. No, we try to be successful for Krishna, but if we're not, we simply go on with our activity for Krishna. And if we're unsuccessful, we don't sit there and lament, oh, I tried so hard, these people are all demons, I'm going to go home. No, we try the best we can. If we're successful, then the gain goes to Krishna. If we're unsuccessful, then we haven't gained anything, nor have we lost anything. What we have gained, hopefully, is the desire to please Krishna. If we're doing it for Krishna, then we should be in Krishna consciousness. So at first, our attempts to become Krishna conscious is that gradually our desires or our attachment to the results of our work gradually diminishes. We realize that we're really not the controller, that sometimes we'll be successful, sometimes we'll be unsuccessful. Sometimes we think that the person who has the greatest material opulence, he must be the most Krishna conscious. The one who has the most followers, he must be Krishna conscious. The one who has the biggest position, he must be Krishna conscious. The one who has the most authority, he must be Krishna conscious. The one who knows in this position, that position. No, the one who's Krishna conscious is the one in any circumstance, he's Krishna conscious. He's not disturbed. Guru Napidu Chalyate. He may be in the garden, he may be washing the dishes, he may be the pujari, he may be a book distributor, he may be the temple president, he may be anything. If he's always doing his service to please Krishna and he's undisturbed by the external features that are confronting him from material energy, then he's a pure devotee. So as we progress, gradually we become free from our attachment to the disturbances, success and failure, and then gradually we're able to understand what Krishna consciousness actually means. And when we begin to focus our mind upon Krishna, then we can and see things in Krishna consciousness, then we can see things more clearly, and we come to the platform where we can remember how everyone and everything is related to Krishna. And when we do our activities with great enthusiasm, that's called pure devotional service or spontaneous love. Because that enthusiasm is not just self-generated, it becomes generated by when we not only focus our attention upon Krishna, but we can actually feel Krishna's presence, and we're doing things simply to please Krishna. We have no more attachment to the results, no more speculation about whether Krishna's God or not, no more doubts whether things are related to Krishna or they're not. We can see things as they actually are, and we do our activities to please Krishna, and the result is Krishna reciprocates and we become ecstatic. Therefore, as we become ecstatic, our enthusiasm increases. Enthusiasm, the definition of that in the Nectar of Instruction, is activities performed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called enthusiasm. So it has two aspects. One is intelligence, we're seeing things in relation to Krishna, and we're seeing Krishna, we're remembering Krishna, we're feeling Krishna's presence, we're conscious of Krishna, and that's called enthusiasm. So the beginning of that enthusiasm is become aware that Krishna's there, and it expands to actually being conscious of Krishna. And conscious of Krishna means to be situated in transcendental bliss. We're like a little spark back in the fire again. We feel at home.
So
Therefore, spontaneous devotional service is not achieved by simply acting as if we're spontaneous. It's achieved by getting free from our material desires, our mental speculation, and our simply trying to think about Krishna rather than serve Krishna. We can think about Krishna, but unless we have an attitude of service, it is simply an impersonal meditation. Or it's not complete. At least it's not within the realm of pure devotion. It may be the beginning. Any questions about this so far? Anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karma diravidham ankulena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. That's Sri Rupa Goswami's definition of pure devotional service. So pure devotional service and spontaneous devotional service, they're both the same. Now, Lord Krishna thought, all the universe is filled with the conception of my majesty, but love weakened by that sense of majesty does not satisfy me. So there's a different level. First level is that we become free from our material conceptions and material desires. We factually become aware of Krishna, and then as we become aware of Krishna, then our identity in relation to Krishna is awoken, and then we perform our activities in that relationship rather than some other conception. At first, we have a theoretical understanding, I'm Krishna's servant, therefore I should be doing these activities. And then when we actually become aware of who we are, we do those activities in our original identity. When that original identity is simply filled with the desire to please Krishna, then that's Krishna's pleased by that. His Prabhupada's purport, the Lord by his inherent nature reveals himself before his devotees according to their inherent devotional service. The Vrindavan pastimes demonstrated that although people generally worship God with reverence, the Lord is more pleased when a devotee thinks of him as his pet son, personal friend, or most dear fiancé, and renders service unto him with such natural affection. We can't do that artificially. We can't think, all right, Krishna is more pleased when I think of him as my son, so now I should go up to the deities and put them in a cradle and imagine that now I'm Krishna's father or mother. No, that's just artificial. That Sarup City, that stage, comes after complete purification by the process of sadhana bhakti. So here Krishna says, anyhow, so that's the general conception there. Very advanced devotees who are free from all material conceptions and material desires, who have realized their spiritual identity, can render service even in this world in that identity. Those who are spontaneously devoted to the Lord and have no aims for material gain are called attractive devotees. They are spontaneously attracted to the service of the Lord and they follow in the footsteps of self-realized souls. Their pure devotion, Shuddha Bhakti, manifested from pure love of Godhead, surpasses the regular principles of the authoritative scriptures. So even in the neophyte stage, when we're generally attracted to results from our work, we have misconceptions, we can't see things clearly, and we can't steadily fix our consciousness out of love upon the Supreme Person. But even in that state, when we are very sincere in our service, when we're chanting Hare Krishna or paying attention to the books, or we're serving the devotees or worshiping the deities, or preaching, making the atmosphere spiritual, in that state, when we focus more attention and we're more enthusiastic, then even then we can become Krishna conscious and feel ecstasy, feel Krishna's presence. So it's not that we have the only time we can experience ecstasy or become aware of Krishna is after many lifetimes of executing pure devotional service, when we become free from all desires and all mental speculation and understand everything perfectly. Oh, even in the neophyte stage, if we pay some special attention, we try to focus our attention on Krishna and give our love to Him, our enthusiasm, then even then Krishna may become pleased and enliven us with transcendental ecstasy, which will purify us and enable us to make spiritual advancement. So it's not just a question of trying to renounce or trying to understand things, it's a question of sincerity, actually trying to focus our attention and give our love to Krishna. So in the Vaikuntha planets, they flawlessly execute devotional service, and of course their mood is to please Narayana. But there is some absence of complete, well, there is certainly an ecstasy in experiencing unlimited pleasure, but the residents of Vrindavan, they have some special mood where they're not overwhelmed by Krishna's majesty, but their only desire is to please Krishna because they're attracted to Him in a very natural way. So Krishna is most pleased by that. Just like the king, everyone goes and bows to the king, but the king also likes it when things with his, he relishes more undoubtedly his relationship with his wife and children than simply with his subjects who come and bow down before him. Certainly he's favorable to his subjects, but he's even more favorable towards his wife and family, and children and family. Devotional service rendered to me by the living beings revives their eternal life. O dear damsels of Braj, your affection for me is your good fortune, for it is the only means by which you have obtained my favor. So all the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis in Vrindavan, they were completely infatuated with love for Krishna. So that was their good fortune. Not that they were expert at churning butter and therefore they had a good business for ghee. Or that, you know, they knew how to dance and therefore Krishna was attracted to them. They could dance all night, therefore Krishna liked to dance. No, their attitude of unalloyed love for Krishna, willing to do anything to sacrifice for Krishna's pleasure, was their good fortune, because that way their love was not restricted. They're able to relish their loving feelings towards Krishna in that mood. If one is always in the feelings of love towards someone, then obviously they're going to feel good. Especially if it's to Krishna, who reciprocates by his feelings of love towards them, give unlimited pleasure. If one has such a pure heart as the gopis and loves Krishna with unlimited, unrestricted love, then with such a pure heart, one can naturally feel Krishna's love for them without any restriction. At the same time, Krishna has unlimited qualities which are all relishable. His humility, his kindness, his playing his flute, whatever, all his different qualities that are mentioned. And the gopis, especially Srimati Radharani, are able to relish these qualities without any restriction. They fully experience Krishna's transcendental qualities. Not just theoretically, but by direct experience. And then Krishna said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, the mother sometimes binds me with a rope. She nourishes and protects me, thinking me utterly helpless. My friends climb on my shoulders in pure friendship, saying, what kind of big man are you? You and I are equals. If my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood, that steals my mind from the reverent hymns of the Vedas. Now Krishna says, taking those pure devotees with me, I shall descend and sport in various wonderful ways, unknown even in Vaikuntha. I shall broadcast such pastimes by which even I am amazed. So here Krishna is going to come and he's going to display his Vrindavan Leela, as well as his Dwarka Leela, his Mathura Leela. But so why did he have to come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Here he came as Krishna. Krishna is all powerful. He's the source of everything. Why does he have to come? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just like the amplifier. The broadcast is there, but our little tiny hearts, as it says, that we have a television in our heart. Just like Sanjaya, he said, actually, what's the first word he used? I can't remember. Bhagavad Gita 18. Well, I don't know. I won't say the Sanskrit. He said, by the mercy of Vyasadeva, I've heard this most confidential talks between the master of all mysticism, Krishna, who is speaking personally to Arjuna. He was actually directly perceiving what Krishna and Arjuna was saying on the battlefield. And he saw the universal form, which he said, eventually he said, it's amazing. He says, Rajam, Samshrita, Samshrita, Sambadamigam, Adbhutam, Keshvarjavam, Punyam, Rishamita, Nak Nak. That in the repeated remembrance of remembering again this wonderful form of Krishna, I'm taking pleasure, being thrilled at every moment. And remembering, is that right? Remembering this wonderful conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, I'm taking pleasure and being thrilled at every moment. Remembering that wonderful form of Krishna, I'm becoming ever more struck with wonder, Vishmayome Maharajan, Rishamisha Mahur Mahu. And I rejoice again and again. In other words, he was actually directly experiencing Krishna, like channel Krishna within his heart. But we also have a television set in our heart, but right now it's not working very well. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just like an amplifier, that even if our television is not working very well, he amplifies the message in such a way is that if one is even dimly receptive, even if the television has a little potency, one will be able to pick up the message. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasy is so powerful, his movement is so powerful, that if one is a little receptive, he'll be able to take advantage of it. Little brain, Sumedhasa. He's feeling great separation from Krishna and Vrindavan. So that feeling of separation in Vipalamba is sufficient to enliven all the living entities in the universe. If one is able to take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's put out other amplifiers in the form of the disciple succession. So the disciple succession means basically those who have picked up the mood of unalloyed service to Krishna and are following in that in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his servants, trying to render unalloyed service to Krishna in this age, especially by expanding the Sankirtan movement in some way, becoming assistant of the assistants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to expand the Sankirtan movement. So, of course, everyone can do that. But because we're conditioned souls, sometimes we're reluctant to do it. Because we don't really understand the value. Because we're not that receptive. But the very process is meant to help us become more receptive. It's not meant to become receptive to the presence of Krishna. When we chant Hare Krishna, we have to do anything else other than just chant Hare Krishna. But we have to do it with attention and with reverence, if not feeling. And of course that reverence and feeling and attention will be there more naturally when we give up our material conceptions and our other conflicting material desires that conflict with pure devotional service. Any questions about this? Okay, we might respond for the sake of responding.
So you spoke about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being magnanimous, giving the highest process, but we need to get rid of all material desires before we can practice this process he brought.
No, we don't have to get free from our material desires. We have to put them aside long enough to get so that we become Krishna conscious.
Yes, this is the question because sometimes in ISKCON it is a contradiction. On the one hand, we are afraid to become Sahajya if we prematurely tend to develop greed for Radha Nuga, and on the other hand, we are sometimes somehow not satisfied always with being the Vaidhi Bhakta all the time. So how to advance from is nobody qualified, or everybody ought to go to that platform in one lifetime?
No, it's a very simple process. Prabhupada writes, in the Krishna book, the art of Krishna consciousness is the art of focusing one's attention and giving one's love to Krishna. So she asks the question of sincerity, that's all. One can become Krishna conscious in a moment or not after millions of years. Or, as Krishna says very simply, Aporimana Mashala Pratishtam Samudram Apa Pravishanti Yadva Tadva Kamayam Pravishanti Sarve Sashanti Matnoti Nakama Kami. Person is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the oceans, which is always being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. As much as we're absorbed in thinking about Krishna, which is our basic process, we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're hearing about Krishna, therefore we have every opportunity to think about Krishna. The difficulty comes, we're thinking about Krishna, and then some other thought comes and we forget about Krishna. So by practice, we can continue, if we become detached from these other thoughts, then we can go on peacefully thinking about Krishna, not become distracted. The thoughts may come, but if we're not attached to them, they'll come and go, and we'll remain thinking about Krishna. So anyone can go on chanting Hare Krishna if they simply do whatever they're doing to please Krishna, and then by this constantly thinking about Krishna, one will come to the highest platform. Put an iron in the fire and keep it there. Gets hotter and hotter and hotter till finally it becomes just like fire. You don't have to do anything else. Greed doesn't come by trying to act as if we're greedy. Everyone is greedy already. We're already materially greedy. But spiritual greed comes from factually becoming conscious of Krishna. As Krishna sees our sincerity and he reveals himself and we become happy in Krishna consciousness, ecstatic, then we want more of it. If we feel pleasure, then we naturally want more pleasure. So if we take pleasure in Krishna consciousness, naturally we want more and more and more and more, because it's the higher taste. But that higher taste means Krishna has to reveal himself to us. We can't force the sun to come up in the middle of the night. The sun will come up its own accord in the daytime. So we can't force Krishna to reveal himself to us. That will depend upon our sincere endeavor to follow the instructions and try and please him. And when he sees that, because he's the Lord in the heart, then he, Tesham Eva Nukamparatam, or he says, Tesham Eva Nukamparatam, Tesham Sadatam Yukdanam, Bhajantam Priti Purvakam, Tadani Buddhiyogam Tam Yena Mamupiyanti Te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, then I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. So when Krishna sees that we're endeavoring to remain fixed in his service and do it enthusiastically, then he gives us more and more intelligence how to remain fixed in devotional service and how to do it with more enthusiasm. And then he says, Tevasham eva nukam paratam, aham adhyana jantamaha, nashamyam yatnabhavishto, jnana dipena bhashvata. Out of compassion for them, I dwell in the heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So Krishna is explaining, how do I give them the intelligence, and what kind of intelligence is that? I purify their heart of all ignorance, and I enlighten them with transcendental consciousness. I reveal myself to them, and therefore everything becomes revealed to them. So in other words, we have to show Krishna we're sincere about rendering steady devotional service with steady enthusiasm, and not becoming disturbed by our material desires or misdirected by our material conceptions. Is that right? Okay. So, Krishna goes on, he's explaining how he's entranced by the gopis. He says, the influence of Yogamaya will inspire the gopis with the sentiment that I am their paramour. So this is very advanced. But that's why Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study. But we can see from one point of view, there are two energies. There is Mahamaya, directing people towards sense gratification and mental speculation and artificial meditation. And then there's Yogamaya, which appears as soon as we start serving Krishna. Even the most neophyte devotee, as they render service to some extent, they come under the influence of Yogamaya, Krishna's internal energy. Just by chanting Krishna's glories, endeavoring to serve him, bowing down before him, one comes under the influence of Krishna's internal energy. It may not be so noticeable at first. It's just like there's a little, when we're performing our sadhana, there's a little spot of devotion there. And we become satisfied by that. But later on it expands, and our devotional service during our sadhana becomes more or less purified, and then it even becomes manifest within our daily lives, and later on our whole life becomes pervaded by the feeling of devotion, whether it's in our work, in our daily lives, with our family members, and eventually it reaches its perfection when we're, practically speaking, we can see how everyone and everything is fully related to Krishna, and everything becomes as good as living in Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan. Our whole life becomes just like we were in Goloka Vrindavan. Although for some people it appears that we're working in ordinary activities, but for us, the experience is just like we're in the spiritual world. It's really a question of consciousness, not so much just the activity, but the unalloyed consciousness to do things purely to satisfy Krishna. Neither the gopis nor I shall notice this, for our minds will always be entranced by one another's beauty and qualities. Pure attachment unites us, even at the expense of moral and religious duties, dharma. Destiny will sometimes bring us together and sometimes separate us. I shall taste the essence of all these rasas. This way I shall favor all the devotees. Then by hearing about me, the pure love of the... Then by hearing about the pure love of the residents of Braj, devotees will worship me on the path of spontaneous love, abandoning all rituals of religiosity and fruit activity. Krishna manifests his eternal human-like form and performs his pastimes to show mercy to the devotees. Having heard such pastimes, one should engage in service to him. We should know what the goal is. It is not that we're simply interested in performing our sadhana and without any consciousness of what our aim is. We're not simply trying to perform our sadhana mechanically. We're trying to do it in such a way as we actually do it with attention and with some reverence, which will later lead into pure emotion. We don't have to change our work, we don't have to change our family, we don't have to change our ashram, we don't have to change anything, we just have to change our consciousness. We have to become convinced that by chanting Hare Krishna, calling out with sincerity to Srimati Radharani and to Lord Krishna, then if I do that, calling out to them with reverence and love, whatever love and reverence I can manifest, then that is all I have to do. The problem comes when we're chanting and we have so many other ideas going through our mind and we take them as more important than pure chanting. We become distracted by our thoughts as if they're more important than trying to chant properly or nicely. But if we can just set aside these thoughts, of course, if the house is burning down, I guess we should at least call the fire department and then go back to our chanting. Well, if there's an emergency, obviously if we're chanting and there's some very important thing, like I forgot to turn off the gas in the house, and if someone lights a match, it'll explode, we may have to write that down on a piece of paper so we can take care of it, we don't forget it. But in general, we shouldn't be so easily distracted from the chanting that we write a book during our chanting. Or that we just forget about the book, the chanting, and we just absorb and think about what service I have to do today, all my problems I have, all or my lamentations, that all the bad things that happened to me in the past, how I never got what I wanted. My sister, she took my Christmas presents. This will not be the price of gold went up, but my bank balance went down. These things will not be very helpful for our advancing towards pure devotional service. On the other hand, if we just chant and listen, and then why are we chanting and listening? We're trying to chant and listen so we can improve our chanting. If I'm chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, obviously I'm going to be bored with my chanting, thinking this is a really boring process. Or I'm chanting Hare Krishna, Rama Rama Rama, Deva Rama Rama Rama. I think, wow, this is a process for crazy people. They're really agitated minds. No, so we're supposed to listen, because hopefully if we're listening, we're listening. Maybe I'll notice, maybe I should change my chanting, so I actually start chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. But if I don't listen, you know, 2 hours go by, it's shnik shnik ram ram day day day, hey ram 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 ram, hey ram 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 ram, hey ram 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 day day ram 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 ram, ram 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 day day day, ram 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 day day ram, shnik 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 ram 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 ram, hey ram 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 ram, hey ram 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 ram, hey ram 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 ram. Snick, snick, Rama, 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 Krishna, Rama, Rama, snick, snick, Rama, Rama, Krishna, Rama, 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 snick, Rama, 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 hey, Ram, hey, Ram, 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 hey, Ram, 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 hey, Ram, 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 snick, snick, Ram, 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 kitty, kitty, kitty. Snake, snake, ram, 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 hey, Krishna, ram, 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 so obviously if we are paying attention, I don't know what we're paying attention to. We should realize I should chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then I should listen to myself, and if I can improve it, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then we can find ourselves, yes, the happily, more happily we chant, more attentively we chant, the more we just start feeling Krishna, the whole atmosphere changes. As we change our mood, or our mode, then the atmosphere that we're under changes. If we change from inattentive chanting, we change offensive chanting from ignorant chanting to passionate chanting to goodness, then we enter into a different mode of experience, a different atmosphere. And in that atmosphere, we can, Krishna Dadami Buddhyogantam, he gives us intelligence how to chant more happily, more with more reverence. And the result is we can feel Krishna's presence, and spontaneously we start remembering who we're actually chanting to. It's Krishna with a flute, peacock feather, he has associates, etc. We become Krishna conscious. It is not possible to chant in the mode of ignorance and remember Krishna, because Krishna has no pastimes in the mode of ignorance. We don't find, you know, we're chanting Hare Krishna and we remember Krishna at the bar. You know, swinging with his girlfriends. Taking some hashish in this, you know. No, Krishna's, or Krishna's not, he's in transcendence, and therefore we want to become like fire, we want to enter into fire, we have to become just like fire. If we want to enter into transcendence, we have to come to the mode of goodness and eventually become purer and purer and purer. And how to do that? We have to change our mood. We have to see, what mood am I in? It can be as simple as washing our hands before we take prasadam. In the mode of ignorance, we think, oh, that sink is so far away. I've walked so much today. We look at our hands and we think, oh, they're clean enough. I can't see anything on them. And then after we eat, we think, well, maybe I should save some prasadam for later, even if it's on my hands. No, even working a mode of goodness, which means we wash our hands before we eat, even if we think they're clean, and we wash our hands after we eat, even if we think there is nothing on them. Even that little bit of the mode of goodness will advance us. So if we're chanting Hare Krishna, it'll have we able to be much more receptive. So to live in goodness, to try to live as much as possible in goodness, and at the same time, change our mood so that we're paying attention to the holy name and we're chanting with some reverence and some enthusiasm. That's why it's good to chant early in the morning. Because at night, naturally after a hard working during the day, we naturally will feel tired. Or hopefully we'll feel tired. Therefore, to chant rounds when we're tired is a great struggle. We should chant rounds when we're most awake. Because it's a different mode and a different mood. Rather than struggling just to get our rounds done, because I vowed to chant, that's very nice. But we should chant at the best possible times we can, so we can have the best possible mood and the best possible, we can pay the best possible attention. Oh, just see, we only have a little. My watch says a quote too. Any other questions? So this is, I didn't describe so much the confidential pastime, so that will have to be the next seminar. Yes.
One last thing. Today is Vasunama Yagya, and maybe can you little bit explain, because it's very hard for me to understand that Krishna and the name of Krishna, there is no difference. So I don't understand, so Krishna is revealed to us, like the holy name, or really it is, and I cannot.
Yeah, that's right. He's Krishna. When we say Hare Krishna, Krishna is there. Matter of fact, even when we don't say Hare Krishna, Krishna is still there. Because he's everywhere. When we say Hare Krishna with the proper intention, then Krishna is there. But we don't perceive it very much. Because Krishna is appearing in a spiritual form. And we're not aware of spirit right now, very much. But we should be a little aware. Now when we say Hare Krishna, the atmosphere changes. Otherwise, why would we keep on chanting? If the atmosphere is exactly as we began, as when we began, then why would we continue to chant? There must be some change. But we're not very conscious, that's all. Just like there are radio waves and television waves everywhere, right in this particular little tent. But unless we have a suitable radio or a suitable television, we won't be able to perceive those waves, but they're there. So Krishna is there when we chant Hare Krishna. We may not have the capacity to perceive him, that's all.
What should we do that we could somehow a little bit more understand this?
Give up, pay more attention, listen, and chant a little bit more blissfully, a little bit more with reverence. Listen to how the devotees are chanting, and then try to chant as the more advanced devotees are chanting. Try to listen to them carefully, and try to see how to chant very nicely. Then Krishna will do everything else. Okay, thank you very much. It's been nice being here. I guess we won't leave exactly right now, but it's the end of the seminar. So it was very nice giving the seminar, although we probably needed a little extra time to get up to the explanation of the confidential parts of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. But I summarized them, and more or less, the love of, he wanted to experience how Srimati Radharani has experienced her love for Krishna, how blissful she is when she loves Krishna, and how her heart is so pure that she's able to experience Krishna's love for her fully, more than anyone else can experience Krishna's love for them. And Krishna has unlimited qualities, and she alone, because of her pure heart, can relish his qualities to an unlimited extent. So Krishna wanted to experience those particular aspects of Srimati Radharani that he, in the position of Krishna, can't experience to that extent. It's called Ashraya and Vishaya. That Srimati Radharani is the Ashraya of those loving feelings, and Krishna is the Vishaya, the object. But the Ashraya experiences those loving feelings more than the object. So Krishna wanted to take the position of Srimati Radharani to feel the happiness that she feels, because it's even greater than the happiness that he feels. Okay. Grantarai Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Por Pramanande. Yeah.